Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is our middle show of the work week. Typically, this is actually the show where I hit the wall, which is why I first started to talk about this as the hump show and getting over the hump. You know, it's kind of a play on hump day. But for us, it's the middle show of the work week. And usually I do a face plant into the hump. But this one is full of excitement, adrenaline. I've got lots of energy. I actually did bring enough snacks. I didn't see the rat on my way into the office. There's a lot to talk about. We've got Ask Amy Anything still ahead. And so, yeah, I don't feel like this is your typical hump show. And maybe all the way through September and October, I will have this kind of energy. It certainly will be a lot of fun. So this is good. This is good. If I could just stay in the same plane, and I hope that you'll help me with that. We do need your questions for Ask Amy. So you can find us on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can also find us on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we're looking at kind of the bubble battles that took place on Tuesday night. These are two completely different games and yet some fascinating storylines.
The Clippers go up 3-1 on the Denver Nuggets and drop the final three games of this best of seven series. The Denver Nuggets will move on and face the Los Angeles Lakers in the conference finals, and the Clippers fall just short of reaching their preseason goals.
I'm the coach, and I'll take any blame for it, but we didn't meet our expectations, clearly, because we had, in my opinion, we'd still be playing.
Well, that's not what Paul George had to say. He said the expectations to win a championship in this first season where he and Kawhi were together were actually not realistic. But Doc Rivers is taking responsibility, as he does. He's accountable, and he says we didn't meet our goals and we had higher expectations. You can hear the dejection in the voice of Noah Eagle on the Clippers radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Do you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. We're pleased to welcome Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press, who's inside the bubble and went to both the Celtics Heat game as well as this game seven between the Nuggets and the Clippers. And Tim, we're glad to have you. Let's start with the Clippers. Here they are, one of their best opportunities ever to make this first Western Conference Finals bust through that glass ceiling. And I don't understand what we saw. How do you interpret the way the Clippers just shrunk back and disappeared?
Well, that's just it. And you realize that, yes, there's a certain, like, they were all talking post game about, you know, we need more time together, we need chemistry. Well, if you can't manufacture chemistry, and yes, I know they had some guys coming in and out of the bubble, of course, but if you can't manufacture the chemistry you need when you're largely all together at Walt Disney World for 75 days or whatever it was, that there might be something, there might be a bigger issue there than meets the eye. I mean, you know, I remember the night I was in Vegas at Summer League. I remember the night 14 months ago now when it all happened, when they got Kawhi, when they got Paul. And in that moment, they were crowned the offseason champions. Like, they were going to be the team. They were going to be it. They were going to be the team to watch this season. For Paul George to come out tonight and say, you know, internally, we never looked at this season as championship or bust. Huh. I don't know if that comment's going to be one that he regrets or not, because this should have been championship or bust. And as we saw tonight, it was bust.
You generally expect that stars like this, especially when they want to play together, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, they kind of they teamed up, and this was supposed to be a tandem to steer the Clippers forward, especially Kawhi. But maybe they don't bring out the best in each other like they thought they would, because we've seen flashes where those two guys are completely locked in and the superstars we know they can be, but not very often.
Yeah. Here's the thing that people have to remember, though, Amy. It's hard. I'm not making excuses. I will never make an excuse for guys. It's not what we should be doing. It's hard in here. It just is. And everyone has their days. I mean, LeBron said this a couple weeks ago, and trust me, I can attest to it. Everyone has their days in here when it's just like, I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm going home. I have several of those moments a day myself in here. I just wonder if there was a point when the Clippers were like, this is not fun anymore. This is a game, and it's got to be fun, and you have to love it. I didn't see the Clippers playing with any joy in Game 5, Game 6, Game 7. Frankly, I didn't see a lot of joy from them in the Dallas series. I saw a lot of aggression. I saw them going at Luka a few times. I didn't see them enjoying it in the first round. I didn't see them enjoying it at all in the second round. And even the way they went out tonight, there was no urgency in the fourth quarter. They were going through the motions. That game was still in the balance. They were only down 8 going into the fourth quarter.
Right.
They were playing for their season, and they had nothing left. They had no spark, no fire whatsoever. I just wonder if they just mentally broke in here somewhere along the way.
32 points in the second quarter, and then 33 points the entire second half, as the Nuggets once again had these surges, and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, they're just so much fun to watch. They work so well together. They've got a bunch of other role players. Gary Harris coming back. So they're the complete opposite. They have thrived in this bubble. Why? What do you see from them?
Because they came into this year eager. They came in this year excited to prove people wrong. I think it's harder to prove people right. It's harder to play with that pressure of, oh my gosh, it's got to be us versus the Lakers. And that's probably what the Clippers were thinking. Denver has embraced this. Nobody loves us. What about us? Everybody disrespects us. Michael Malone has played that card so perfectly in here. And I mean, they were number 2 or number 3 in the West pretty much the whole year. They're a great young core. We all have written this. We all know this. We all talk about it. And Michael Malone has convinced his team, God bless him, he's convinced his team that nobody in the world thinks you're any good. And they're buying it. And it's worked for them. I mean, teams don't win 6 elimination games in a decade sometimes. Mm-hmm. They've done it in 3 weeks in here. I mean, what they did against Utah, it was no fluke. I mean, down 15 in the third quarter of elimination game. You don't come back from that. The way they've done it, Jamal Murray has proven that he's worth that contract that he's got. Nikola Jokic is such an underrated superstar. I mean, the list of guys with 40 points in Game 7, Amy, I think it's only like 15 or 16 deep. Jamal Murray joined a pretty cool club tonight, and he made it seem really easy doing it, too.
Mm. How much has he raised his profile inside the NBA in terms of being one of the upper echelon elite players?
Yeah, I think he went from, oh my gosh, why did they give him that contract, to, oh, I totally see it now. Yeah, I get that. Oh, good job, Nuggets. Good work. Yes, yes, you definitely see something there. He's raised his bar has obviously gone up. Jokic's bar was always absurdly low. I mean, because he's not flashy. He admits it. He's slow. He does these crazy one-legged jumpers that look hideous. He shoots off the wrong foot half the time. He does so many things, quote unquote, wrong. He just does them better than everybody else. They're a fun team, and they're young, and they've got draft picks. And all of a sudden, I mean, I'd have no idea what's going to happen in this Lakers series. I think the whole world will pick the Lakers, which is exactly what Michael Malone wants.
Yes,
all this is.
He loves that.
But they are set up to be a team that's going to be a problem in the West, not just next year, but for a few years after that, too.
I love the history that they have too, where they, and it's a microcosm in this one game, down 12, up as many as 20. And they thrive in those situations where they're just the third team in U.S. major pro sports history to come back from 3-1 deficits twice in the same playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Tim Reynolds of the AP is joining us from the bubble in Miami. Before we leave the series and talk Eastern Conference Finals, what do you think is the future when it comes to Clippers leadership, Doc Rivers?
I mean, I hope you keep him. You never root for change. And I think Doc will probably go through the – he's at the point in his life where he can say, do I still want to do this? Do I still have to do this? I imagine he does. I think if you ask him tonight, you might not get a good answer. But I think he still wants to coach. I think he's still one of the great coaches. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of bad numbers out there, Amy. You know, there's been 13 of these 3-1 deficits that have been lost in NBA history, and he's been the coach of three of them. But to be fair, you know, one of them was as an 8 seed, you know, when Detroit figured it out and got Orlando in 2003, I think it was. Like, you can make the numbers look real bad for Doc. Yes, he's lost 8 game sevens. Well, he's also won 6 game sevens.
Right.
And he has a piece of jewelry on his hand, too. I still think he's an elite coach. I think if the Clippers made big changes, it would be a panic move. I don't see Steve Ballmer doing it, but I'm very often wrong on this stuff too, I might add.
Of course, his championship ring coming from his time coaching the Boston Celtics, who now find themselves in the East Finals against the Miami Heat. And this matchup is so much fun. It's so athletic. There's so many playmakers. Both teams are really balanced. And the first game goes into overtime. So you had a chance to watch that game there in the bubble. When you think about some of the major moments down the stretch, which ones will you remember?
I mean, you start with the block. I mean, you start with Bam Adebayo having the courage to not be afraid to get on a poster, because 9 times out of 10, Jason Tatum finishes that dunk. You start with that, but you know, I am convinced that this series is going to go at least 15 games, probably longer. I have no idea how they're going to decide a winner in this thing. The Lakers and the Nuggets are going to be rooting for that thing to go very deep, because
right.
I don't know how either team's going to have anything left after that series. You've got brilliant coaches. You've got great coaches in Brad Stevens and Eric Spoelstra. You've got this unbelievable young core. You know, the Heat have Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. Bam, obviously, I think Bam is one of the next very big things in this league. We all know who, you know, the Celtics with Tatum and what. I mean, there's so much good. Kemba Walker getting to this round for the first time. Jimmy Butler getting this round for the first time. They're the same teams, Amy. They're the same teams. And they're so tough. They're so smart. I would imagine along the way, Miami might get an easy one. Boston might get an easy one. But I think virtually every game in this series is going to look an awful lot like that game tonight.
Lot of questions about Kemba Walker and the way he played. He, of course, hit that big shot in overtime, the pull-up jumper. And yet, depending on whatever network you're watching or listening to, there are a lot of questions about his play. What has he had to say? What has Brad Stevens had to say about Kemba to this point?
Kemba just nods and smiles and says, I got to play better. But, Amy, I've thought this since they got to the bubble. And you know, he did miss some games very early on, if we can think back 17 years ago to when this ordeal started in the bubble. You know, he missed some of the seeding games. I just watch him, Amy, and, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I don't think he's totally right. I don't think he's totally right physically. I think he's a little bit concerned about the knee. I just wonder if he's just missing a gear. And if a guy is 90%, they know it. And it affects their confidence. It affects their rhythm. I also think, too, that Nick Nurse got in his head a little bit in the last series, because they neutralized him pretty good with a box and one. And, you know, the Heat will play zone. I don't think they'll slap box and one on anybody. But I wonder if Kemba's going through just a little bit of a crisis of confidence right now. And it could be a combination of the box and one from the last series. It could be that he knows his knee isn't perfect. It could be a little of both. I just don't think Kemba is super Kemba that, you know, that we're all used to seeing. I think there's just something off there. he's not going to give it up what it is, and neither is Brad Stevens.
It's amazing the way that these two teams have been built, first by Danny Ainge and the metamorphosis that the Celtics have gone through. But then you think about what Pat Riley has done with the Heat and the way that he's brought in guys who are not only tough and gritty in the case of Andre Iguodala, and Jay Crowder, but they've got guys like Jimmy Butler now who just bring that intensity and that edge. And, man, the difference in the Heat from a year ago is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, people, again, because it is such an absurd year and because, you know, last season for the Heat ended 17 months ago, people forget Dwayne Wade played for that team last year. I mean, the D-Wade retirement tour stuff, the last dance, that was last season. It just seemed a lot longer ago. They ended last season. The best player in franchise history, you know, is done. He's retired. You have no cap space. You're kind of stuck in the middle where teams in the NBA rarely escape from without totally tanking or getting really, really lucky. And then they managed to pull off the sign and trade with Philly. Jimmy Butler, everybody knew Jimmy Butler was coming to Miami. Jimmy Butler was, he didn't want to listen to anybody else. Jimmy Butler decided this culture is for me. Jimmy Butler, Amy, a quick story. The last home game of Dwayne Wade's career was against the Philadelphia 76ers. It was against Jimmy Butler and the Philadelphia 76ers. When he saw the show of love that Dwayne got that night, he knew he'd never get that exactly from the Miami fans. But that was the thing that really, really sold him on, this is what I want to be part of. This is what I want. I want to be part of this. So you get Jimmy Butler, Andy Ellisberg and Pat Riley pull off an unbelievable trade in February. They get rid of a bunch of guys who really weren't fits anymore for them. They get cap space, and they get Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder out of the deal, two starters. It's been a brilliant – every move they've pulled off since the retirement of Dwayne Wade has been brilliant. And keep in mind, they are still looking for the big guy, whoever that is. Pat Riley wants another big three type deal like they had a decade ago, and they might have the money next year to pull it off. They are trending in the right way a lot faster, I think, than a lot of people thought.
Not to mention getting to an East final, maybe an NBA final, certainly does a lot to attract free agents. Although I got to tell you, the most brilliant move by Jimmy Butler is running his coffee scam inside the bubble where he's making coffee and lattes available to his fellow players. That's pretty impressive.
At $20 a pop, though, Amy. Although this is a no state income tax state, so you know he's brilliant to do it here.
Tim Reynolds of the AP with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So you mentioned a couple of times how the bubble wears on people. You've been in there. This is actually your second stint. You've had a chance to watch a lot of games, cover a lot of the storylines, but from inside this mini campus, this college campus, how much has the atmosphere changed, do you think, in terms of the players, the games, as the time wears on?
Well, I think there's a balance. There's a yin and yang to it. The longer you're here, obviously, the more tired you are. And not everybody brought their families. A lot of people did, and that's great. Not everybody did. A lot of coaches who finally got the chance to have chosen not to because they figure at this point it'd be hard for kids and school's going on in a lot of places and it would just be really tough to sort of upset the apple cart. So you've got all of these dynamics going. You're away from home. You're not seeing your kids. You're not seeing your wives. It gets hard for everybody. And now most of these guys, they're in day 70, 75, 80 of away from home. But you're now two rounds away from winning the NBA championship. We're down to four teams now. You're in the conference finals. Miami is a game up. Miami's, you know, three wins away from the NBA finals. The Lakers, Celtics, and Nuggets are now all four games from it. You can feel it. And I think that's going to be that little jolt of invigoration that these teams need. I think you're going to see some happier faces now when people realize how close they are, that there's a month left, that there's only a month left. There's only four teams still here. The hotel is kind of all to yourself again, instead of seeing so many people every day. Now you're only seeing a couple teams every now and then, and you're so much closer to hoisting Larry O'Brien. I think it's going to be the most meaningful championship ever won in this league. I think you're going to see guys shake off the fatigue and kind of get their second wind, quite literally. I think when they realize how close they are to winning this, Yes, it's been a grind. Yes, everybody wants to go home. But I think these four teams that are left, they're all going to have the same MO, which is, hey, we've been here this long. We're this close. We might as well win this darn thing.
Yeah, exactly. Why give up now when we can see the light at the end of the tunnel? That hope, it's a very powerful human motivator, I should say, regardless of the situation. All right, you can find him on Twitter at by Tim Reynolds, who's covering the NBA from inside the bubble for the Associated Press. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Amy, thanks so much for having me. Take care.
As he was talking about the bubble and surviving the bubble, I was thinking about the actual reality show Survivor, where they have to go, 38 days, I think, to be able to survive. Maybe it's 39 days, something like that. My brother's family, they're huge Survivor fans. I've watched a few seasons of it start to finish, but I'm not as big into it as I am The Amazing Race. But I suppose the concept applies there too. You're exhausted. You're starving. you're operating on pure adrenaline and you kind of have to fight through the middle of that. And if you survive and you're one of the final teams left or one of the final three that go to that last tribal council, well, then you've made it. That extra second win, maybe a third win, it's because there's hope and there's light at the end of the tunnel. This is, of course, one of the best reality shows on TV. Sports definitely are. And he's right. They're going to get this extra adrenaline, this added boost as they realize this is it. Just a few more weeks and we could end up being the NBA champion. It's not nearly so crowded in the bubble anymore. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Vote for Touchdown Tuesday. In addition, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's always good to have you on board. The latest on the Big Ten, no vote Tuesday, but maybe on Wednesday.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Right point, Shattenkirk, the blast, blocked out high. Islanders might have a 2-on-1 here. Lee, through the left circle, he's with Everly down the middle, feeds him, shoots, he scores! Jordan Everly has won it in double overtime on a great feed from the captain! The Islanders win it 2-1! They stave off elimination, and there will be a Game 6 on Thursday night!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Islanders are still alive. They've still got a heartbeat, and they need double overtime. Second period of sudden death, roughly another 30 minutes before Jordan Eberle scores, and they're able to defeat the Lightning 2-1. But just in general, their staying power and the way that they've come up with these gut check moments. It reminds me a little bit of what the Denver Nuggets can do. Now, nature of the game is different. You're never down by double figure points. And if you are, heavens, you might as well dial up the mercy rule and just get out of there. Pull your goalie, close it down. But the Islanders have had a bunch of these situations where they've managed to fight back. They've managed to stay alive, even if they feel like they're down to their final out or their heartbeat is fading. And so here they are. The Lightning had put them on the ropes and the Islanders fight back. And I love these stories, the stories where we're talking fresh blood. We're talking about teams that are playing with house money, teams that aren't supposed to be there. They're not supposed to be there. Just these kinds of stories in sports are always my favorites. The underdogs, the teams you don't see coming, and yet you can't stop watching because they just did it again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Chris King on the Islanders Radio Network. And we've talked about the Western Conference Final in the NHL. You've got the Dallas Stars waiting as they took out the big, bad Golden Knights. And Stars haven't been to the Stanley Cup Final in 20 years. So, you know, it's not quite the same as what we had last year with the St. Louis Blues. It's a different story. Maybe the year before with the Washington Capitals. But this could still be a great story. And, you know, the Lightning have some unfinished business of their own. I think it still stings the way that they lost out last year getting swept. Was it just last year? They got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets as the President's Trophy winner in the first round. So cool. You know me. I'm all about the drama. And if we can get this to a Game 7, even better. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Did you hear about what happened with the Nebraska president who was caught on a hot mic? So this is the system president for the University of Nebraska, Ted Carter. I try to tell people, when there's a microphone anywhere near you, act like it's on. Act like it's broadcasting to the entire world. Except Ted Carter did not heed the advice. And he was speaking to someone before a news conference Tuesday in Lincoln. And he is caught on mic. And we've got the audio. We'll want you to hear it. Essentially, he was breaking news, even though he didn't know he was breaking news.
Everything that's going on here in Houston with what we're getting ready to announce at Husker Big Ten football tonight.
Oh, really? I heard that that was happening. I didn't. I think there's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that'll get off your plate.
Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction.
Right.
So the exchange is this. I'll read it verbatim in case you couldn't catch it. Ted Carter of Nebraska says, "We're getting ready to announce the Huskers and Big Ten football tonight." And his friend, who is Bob Hinson, says back, "Oh, really? I heard that was happening. There's a lot of anticipation about that. Good for you. Maybe that will get off your plate." Thank God it wasn't anything more inflammatory. And Carter says back, "Well, it never will, but it's a good move in the right direction." So here is the University of Nebraska system president saying, "We're getting ready to announce it. We're getting ready to announce Big Ten football." Lo and behold, there was no vote. Hashtag sad sap of the week. But here's the latest from Brady Quinn on CBS Sports HQ.
I'm hearing right now there's going to be a vote taken in the next 24 hours. There are still some schools, really the presidents and chancellors, who need some convincing as far as what the protocols are going to be in regards to testing. And then there's a few teams, too, that have to get started back up to prepare for the season. So it looks like a mid-October start, potentially October 17th is what I've heard, and an 8-game schedule.
So we're talking about an 8-game schedule, but starting in mid-October, potentially still being involved in the college football playoff, though those details are a little bit wonky as well. So here we are a month after the Big Ten postponed all of its fall sports. They're getting ready to, we think, vote for a reversal. And I just wonder how much of this delay is about their pride. It's about admitting they were wrong. It's embarrassing to them. Maybe Kevin Warren wants there to be a unanimous vote. I don't even know if that's possible. But they continue to hear medical input, and they continue to hear from their medical subcommittee, but they're also talking to the various athletic directors and coaches and trying to figure out where they are. Do they have the testing that they need? All this stuff. But just the longer you put off the vote, I feel like the harder it gets. And so I understand wanting to be safe, but you've got to have a date. You've got to have this announcement out there so everybody is pulling in the same direction. So they continue to meet. There's been no announcement. As for poor Mr. Carter, he actually said that this was taken out of context. Quote, "All I said is there's work going on and we remain cautiously optimistic." That's not what he said at all. He said, "We're getting ready to announce the Huskers and Big Ten football tonight." And that's a quote. And it's direct from KETV television in Omaha. Oh, that's humorous. All right, 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And on our Facebook page as well. It's good to have you on board. We are schluffing our way through the hump show.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Davies delivers. Swing and a fly ball deep down the right field line. If it's fair, it's gone. It is both the home run. Edwin Rios, the home run to right, his fourth of the year. And the Dodgers take themselves a 3-1 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was the final score as the Dodgers win this big game against the Padres and snap San Diego's 8-game win streak, and they've really been in hot pursuit of the Dodgers atop the National League West. Two of the best teams in the NL, two of the best teams in baseball. In fact, between the Dodgers and Padres, there are 66 wins. Only one other team, and that's the Chicago White Sox, have as many victories as either the Padres or the Dodgers. But the Dodgers get the upper hand in this first game of the series, a 3-1 victory, and it's Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers radio network. I can't believe that we're about to hit the point at which they only have 10 games remaining in their regular season. It's a little bit crazy, but you know what? Let me really correct really quickly. Not the first game of the series. They played the Padres on, I get my nights mixed up. That was Tuesday night. Monday night, they played the Padres and lost, so make sure I get that correct. But they do have one more to go in this series that comes up on Wednesday. See, days. Wednesday afternoon. And so it's the rubber game of this particular series. And it's important when we're talking about playoffs, because even though there are expanded playoffs, we definitely have seeding that matters. We're talking wild cards. We're talking not so much home field, but just in general, the ability
playoffs
for the Dodgers to keep on this tear and go in with confidence. Or is this the Padres who are going to overtake the big bad Dodgers? I think that says something even before you get to the postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we're going to talk about the baseball playoff format, because they have actually settled on it, and it's interesting. I still am. I'm going to withhold judgment. I do think that playoff games are great generally, but I really like the previous wild card format. And I'm not sure how I feel about more than half of the league getting into the postseason. I don't know. I'm still chewing over it. I think I'm going to have to see it first before I kind of understand the ebbs and flows and decide whether or not I like it. Plus, have this happening at the end of September into October and everything else is going on. I don't know. Maybe I'm feeling a little flummoxed. It just the idea of all this stuff happening at once. So I want to share the format with you, and I'd love to get your thoughts. But it's a little convoluted, but at least we've got some of the details from Major League Baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. And that's sponsored by Geico, 855-212-4CBS. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I'm actually waiting on payday Friday, and then I'm going to pay my Geico car insurance bill for the next 6 months. Before we talk more about the baseball format, let's check in with Dan, who's in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy.
Hey.
You touched on the Big Ten football, and that's right at my heart, because I put my vacation slip in July 8th, my son's birthday that passed away. But it's for October 10th, not the 17th. You have to go to the 10th, not the 17th. This is crazy. October 10th, please.
No.
Give me the start of my vacation with the Big Ten football.
Oh, I gotcha. So do you normally work Saturdays? You have to take Saturday off?
I took Saturday off this time because my anniversary is the 15th. Would have been married for 43 years. So I can honestly say I've never watched football on my wedding day. I was so, nervous. I'm not even sure if nervous is the right word. I was so ingrained into getting married.
Wait, 43 years ago we're talking about, or like every year on your anniversary?
Well, 42 years and 360 days or whatever it is. So
it's probably a few more than that.
Or about 350 days, 40 days, something like that. But I got married on October 15th, sweetest day. I got engaged on Valentine's Day. I've been married for 42 years and 300 and some days right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't watch any football on my wedding day.
Well, that seems pretty standard. There's probably a lot of people who don't watch football on their wedding days.
Well, no, I'm a huge, huge football fan. You cannot believe how big of a college football fan I am. I am so huge into college football, and it's like, please, you guys, the Big Ten, start October 10th, not the 17th. Please, give me a break.
Okay, so are you not going to watch any of the other college football? Because there is actually some other college football that's going on before October 17th.
There should be, but I'm a huge Big Ten fan, and I'm just, you know, my daughter's birthday is the 11th, so I'm going to go visit my daughter, and that's what I'm going to be doing on the 11th.
Well, see, I kind of feel like that's a much better plan than college football. I mean, college football is great and all, and I'm glad you're such a big fan, but I kind of feel like family birthdays are, they should take precedence.
Family birthdays are, I'm not going to watch football. I'm with my daughter. No, there's no way. Straight up.
Okay. Good.
But all that's right. The 11th. Mm-hmm. The 10th. The 10th is the day before. Start it. Start the Big Ten football, please.
I mean, if the Big Ten could be swayed by public sentiment, man, I feel like you would be right at the front of the line. But so far, they're not really swayed by a whole lot. Maybe a lawsuit here or there, but not much. I think they're mostly swayed by the fact that, they're mostly swayed by embarrassment because you've got teams in the NFL that are playing in their area. You've got teams in other conferences that are playing. And so I think it's more just, whoopsie, we made the wrong decision.
Andy, they're playing in high school. Michigan and Ohio.
Right, that too. That too.
So the Big Ten dropped the ball. That's all I'm going to say.
That I would agree with. All right, Dan. Well, it's good to talk to you. I hope that you have a good night, or I guess you said good morning. So a good Wednesday in Michigan, and we'll see whether or not the Big Ten is swayed by your plea here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence at CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Some of you are asking me whether or not I've seen the format for Major League Baseball in its postseason. Yes, they are using bubble sites, which we had talked about here on the show before. We knew they were planning on using multiple sites for the wild cards and for, well, maybe not for the wild cards, but for the division series, the league championship series, the World Series. It's a little bit convoluted, but we do know that the Fall Classic will be held in Arlington, Texas, brand new Globe Life Park. So it's different, of course, because it's the first World Series all at one site going back to the 40s. It's just like everything else this year where you've got convention and what's typical thrown out the window. I mean, we just, there's no way to do what we've always done, not in 2020, not in any industry, definitely not in sports. And so here is baseball trying to ensure that their postseason goes through. Why? Well, because all of their money comes from TV contracts in the postseason, national TV games. And so here's what they're looking at. The Division Series, the League Championship Series, and the World Series. So after the wild card rounds, they're going to be part of these bubbles, and they want to limit travel. They, of course, want to try to keep the exposure to outsiders, whether family, whether friends, just in general. They want to try to keep baseball contained as much as possible, so that they can get all the way through without having to postpone games, of course. So they're looking potentially for 25% capacity with fans, which is cool. That would be at the postseason games in Arlington. The total capacity is about 40,000. So they're hoping to have 25%, which would be 10,000 fans, at the games that are played in Arlington. And then they're going to decide how they might handle it at other ballparks. But the postseason's been expanded from 10 to 16 teams, and you've got the top four seeds in each league hosting a wild card series. So they will take place in their home ballparks, and they're hosting the wild card series, and then they're going to shift the eight teams that are left. So you'll cut the field in half after wild card, and the eight teams that are left will shift to these bubbles. Now, you know, by having everybody play in the wild cards, it's not so much a wild card anymore. I mean, you're adding an entire round of the postseason, and it doesn't really have a wild card feel to it at all. But they're going to go ahead and use Globe Life Field in Arlington. I like the idea. It's a retractable roof. Of course, it could be beautiful weather. You wouldn't have to worry about that. Texas likely not to be in the postseason since they are last in the American League West at the last check. The AL Championship Series will be held at Petco Park in San Diego. National League Championship Series in Arlington. Then you're going to use the park in San Diego and the park in Los Angeles, Dodger Stadium, for your AL Division Series. So they're going like straight neutral, as in the other league. And the NL Division Series will be in Arlington and then in Houston. So Texas and California are going to be your sites for Division Series, Championship Series, and then you're moving into the Globe Life environment, bubble. I guess we can call it a bubble. The Globe Life bubble to be able to get through the World Series. Here's Will Middlebrooks on CBS Sports HQ.
With no fans, there's not as much of a home field advantage other than being able to use your own facilities and sleep in your own bed. But in a bubble type situation where these guys are going to be kept in the same place, that's out the window anyways. So all four of these places, the facilities are extremely nice. You look at where the World Series will be played in Texas, a brand new stadium, state of the art. Everything was done perfectly, almost as if they had no budget. My buddies I talked to that I played with over there, Joey Gallo, one of them, saying this is the most amazing place I've ever been. So perfect place for a World Series.
Middlebrooks actually played for the Texas Rangers, though not in their nude park, and also played for the Padres. And so he's familiar with the cities, at least, and the atmospheres. And we'll get more Dave Roberts commenting, too, on what baseball has revealed. We do know some of the dates as well. I'm not sure if you know this, but the wild card rounds will begin on September 29th. So Tuesday, once again, avoiding an NFL evening. Tuesday, September 29th, and you'll have a handful of games, and they'll run through the end of September into potentially, I mean, it depends on how long the series go, into that first couple days of October, right? So they go from September 29th to October 2nd for the wild card rounds. And then they start the division series on October 5th, and the division series would run as late as the 10th. And then we're talking LCS, starting the very next day, the 11th, and running through October 18th. And then the World Series would start on October 20th and would wrap up no later than October 28th. So starting a little bit earlier, but still jamming it all in into a month and multiple parks and neutral sites, and bring it on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.